My name is Chris Jordan, and welcome to a really special podcast passion project of mine, a mini-series called Coffee with Convicts. This year, I met and I partnered up with three remarkable men in a joint project who are all ex-convicts and have served an accumulative odd 42 years in prison here in South Africa. When I met the guys who now head a spiritual rehabilitation program as a collective NGO for prisoners nationwide, so many questions of what lay beyond the prison walls and that life came to mind, that black box, so to speak, of what we see an input and an output and a very surface level understanding of the ecosystem that comes with a life sentence. This short series aims to ask some of the grittier questions that external media sources haven't been able to nor have needed a buy-in or are interested in exploring. Please enjoy this part of this journey. The guys that are in prison, that would be, I think, an easier audience to convince to change or swap or focus on spirituality. But outside, do you understand? Like, is there, do you find that that battle is weakening, as you say? Like, why?
First thing and foremost, when you are giving a date so that you are going to be released, one thing that is coming into your mind that I'm going to be accepted or what?
Yeah.
And remember, there is this thing of stigmatization. When you are incarcerated or you have been sentenced,
sure.
People, when you're going outside, people, they might not accept you.
Yeah.
Let me state, for example, to my side. When I was released, one thing that happened to me, it started within the family. Mm. Especially when you are a man, you went back to the family, there's women there. They would always tell you that you must always remember, if you do anything wrong, you send you straight back to jail.
Yeah.
It's one of the torture that we have from the family.
Right, friends. I get it.
When you go along the streets, you find people having cocaine. When you just want to pass to them, when you greet them, some just say, hi, some just say, nothing. When you look back, you find that they're talking about you.
Yeah.
You ask yourself, what are they talking about me? What are they saying about me? You
right.
See, you start to ask yourself a lot of questions. It's what the correctional services in terms of that office of community relations, mm. They're having this challenge of reintegration program.
Right. Right.
Because communities, they don't accept ex-convict
sure.
in with both hands because
yeah.
They don't know this person is going to do it again?
Well, this is my thing. That's exactly what I touched on before, is saying, like, why tell people you've served your time, you've done it, you've rehabilitated, why must you come out and, like, let's say, okay, some people will know in your community, do you understand? Well, that's fine, but you can always move to a different community.
True.
You really, I mean, not everyone knows you around, like, over the mountain. But obviously, there's talk and whatever it is. These are small things, but, like, why tell them?
The problem is what? Because when you are released, remember, you will be placed on probation. When you are placed on probation, which means they have to monitor you day
yeah.
in, day out.
Sure.
Because you're not a free man.
Yeah.
You're still serving your sentence, but outside.
Okay.
We call it parole.
Right.
When you're on parole, which means the official from the correctional service, they have to come and visit you.
Right, so it's visible. Yeah.
Yeah, so that they can monitor you. People, they will see that, no, this is correctional, this man was from prison.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you'll find that people within the community, they don't understand the system. That's the problem of us as Africans.
Yeah.
People there at the ground, they don't know about the constitution. They don't know about the system, how it works. That's why if you serve a sentence, they still feel that you must not be here. You're
yeah.
supposed to go back to jail. So, but they don't know the system. If a person is going to behave well and so forth and so forth, attend the program, going to school.
Sure.
And, required the decree that the parole board requires and everything,
right,
the CMC
right, right,
and everything
right, right, right.
So it can be placed on parole. But yeah. people outside, they don't have that information.
So we need to build the awareness. I understand
yes,
that.
Yes.
But again, we are living in a world that, well, sure, I mean, people really just, they hardly care about, I mean, the most thing that they care about them is themselves, which is fine. I get that. I understand that. But they barely even care for, like, the next person. And to try and do that, would require, you know, let's say some media publicity and obviously bring it as education in schools. And I understand that. I get that that is a massive obstacle. Did any of you feel the need to go and Because part of rehabilitation as, let's say, an alcoholic, must I always say that one of the step programs is to go now and go in and make amends. Was that part of the rehabilitation? Like, do you feel like you had to go to somebody or some bodies to go and make amends, to move past a certain point of your rehabilitation?
Not really, because remember what we do hurts people big time, and it doesn't literally hurts them alone, but with their family members. So if there is a murder in a crime scene and some people are crying, they lost a breadwinner, they lost a brother, they lost somebody important. So going back to accept your mistake might put your life in risk. So yeah, one of the things we check.
Okay. All right. I want to know about, again, what's happening inside. Like, so what's happening inside? There, I tried to push last time about the worst moments. What were some of the moments where you actually wanted to just make a break for it? Like, you were going, there were some things were happening in, you know, in prison, and you were like, I'm going to find a way to break out. It doesn't matter because I can't be here because all this shit is happening.
You see, if they say there is hell in the world, I believe that's the hell. That is hell.
Why?
Everything is not normal, and there is survival. It's not like you get free food and then you eat, then you sleep. There is life in there. You breathe every day, and you have to survive every day. There's smokes, there's cigarettes. We buy food. Some people sell their food for cigarettes, so there is life there. There are those who even commit crime to come inside intentionally so that they can raise money inside and support their families outside, because there's a lot of money inside. Even if you check on a game, dice gambling, you'll find there's 100K on that on the table playing around, but some come inside intentionally to do crime so they can be arrested, so they can go to prison to raise money and support their families inside. So there is life in there. And we do correspond with the correctional wardens, some corrupted ones that brings us illegal stuff like cell phones, weed and drugs, so we can sell and make more money, because these people are the people we live with outside in the outside community when we are outside. Right. So we are able to sit down and make a deal that I'm going to make sure I'm arrested, and then when you find me inside there, make sure you supply me with 1, 2, 3, and me and you can be quickly rich.
How? I mean, I'm guessing because you come into a system, you'll know which officers you can have a conversation with. Like, let's say there's a new cop that wants to, I don't know, go quote-unquote dirty. How do you gain that trust? How does he gain that trust from the gangs inside?
Mostly the wardens know who are the rich boys in prison, so they always do their best to actually be closer to those kind of people, because remember, wardens are also a kind of prisoners. They are spend most of their time with prisoners, but they are free prisoners who goes outside, so they got more or less the same mentality as us when we are inside.
Yeah.
So it's easier for us to convince them with their money, because they earn a little money, and you find this guy has 150K in prison. So it's easier to just control the system.
You said, you mentioned the story before where the guy was killed because there was like something to prove by, you know, another you know, obviously sect of one of the gangs. So they killed him. That was your cellmate. What shocks to your system were there when you spent your time there? What experiences do you wish that you could erase, but you can't?
Yes, I wish I could erase. You know, when those kind of things happens, they give you a memory of another incident that happened somewhere.
Tell me.
Like if somebody dies with a knife, and you once killed somebody with a knife, so it traumatizes you back, and now you start thinking not only about how you feel, but how you made your family, your parents, your sisters feel with that same incident, and how the community are now looking at them, where you come from while you are not there. Now they are suffering your consequences. So it hits you one way or the other.
Yeah.
What Thabo just said right now is the honest truth, because look, prison is not one of the safest places in the planet. I've heard a lot of people tell me that prison is one of the safest places in the planet. You are there 24 hours with people with different emotions, different backgrounds, different spirituality background. At the end of the day, you are locked up there. And then remember, when you are locked up with a lot of stress, a lot of spiritual possessed, you find that people quarrel for the tap, there, the bathroom. At the end of the day, when they close the jail, that person who was quarreling with another person would make a plan that, no, this guy, I want to burn him with hot water, mixing with detergent, and also having a knife that I created myself. I want to stab that person. When they close the final door, we call it the master door.
That's right.
Master door.
Yeah.
You find you're sitting there, somebody's listening to his or her radio, somebody's is reading a newspaper.
Or they're fighting for Archer, you know, Archer. Archer is one of the most important. Imagine somebody killing somebody for Archer because he stole his Archer.
Shit.
You see now, we find that particular person is waiting for that moment. The other guy is relaxing, but this time, me time.
Yeah.
You grab your sheet and you close your head, you cry, you start to recall your past, your mistakes and everything.
Right.
During that time, that person will arrive with mixed detergent within the body with hot water, having a knife.
And
you don't see anything, everybody's entering to his stuff. And that guy will say, wow, with hot water. I don't know, that one went just come up. We want to see what's happening. There's a knife here.
Start
to step in. And remember, when they lock the door, there's a system in the process.
Sure.
For those people to come. You find that the staff during the day is too much or it's many. During the night, the staff, they reduce maybe to three or five.
Yeah, that's right.
One person, okay, three centers, the other one for three centers that side. What's supposed to call that person? There is no this intercom within ourselves, especially in this as properties, because private sector, they've got intercoms also there, but in correctional services, they don't have intercoms.
Yeah.
We have to do our own intercom. We have to call that the particular official by using this a car. Thank you, Baba. And it'll take time.
Yeah.
Remember, by doing that particular
By that time, it's the damage is done.
Yeah, the damage is done. It is a severe step by another inmate.
And like I said, do you know that is coming, so that you can look? I mean, I know enough stories about a very rough how it works on the outside. Where, for example, let's say there's a hit organized on someone. So let's say they organize someone, they're going to come obviously, and they're going to come and shoot someone, whatever it may be. And you can negotiate back a better price to reverse the hit or whatever it is. I'm talking about conversations. Are there negotiations? Like, let's say you would know, like, there's something happening, it's targeted at you, and you can have control to negotiate. What's that like?
No, you know what, Mr. Krishna? You see, when you come that partner, you find this guy, he make a big mistake.
Yeah.
And then you find all of the gangster, he know everything with this guy, he messed up.
Okay.
And then there is a judgment, there is a court there, whereby all the gangster meet together and talk about this case of this guy.
Yeah.
And then if there is a punishment, it's a punishment. There is no one can
take cops out of it.
Yeah. Even cops knows that is a mandate. This guy must go and beat this one or stick in the knife or do anything he wanted to.
Yeah.
When it's a mandate of the gangster. Because of the gangster, it's not bad people.
Yeah.
Gangster is a good people because of this thing before it comes long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Our forefathers, when come with these things, inside the prison, there is no communication. And then there was that thing of party people chasing away, go this side, lot of things. So start to do this thing of gangster so that we can communicate.
Right.
The gangsterism, before there was no gangsterism. There were political formation created to revolt against the system.
Mm.
And then when the prison officials or the security officials see to the point that though these people are not going to be controlled if they are united again.
Of course.
We have to do something to divide them so that we divide and rule. When they implement the system of gangsterism, is where things started to become worse.
Yeah.
Because when you infiltrate an evil spirit within the system, which means you are infiltrating that evil spirit for the sake of that, you want to rule those people.
Mm.
It's what happened to our forefathers, political party within the colonial centers.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then now they tended to become evil.
So I get that, it.
Against amongst each other, so they cannot be organized.
Yeah.
They can be also disconnected. If they're disconnected, which means there will be what? A ruling system that is going to be implemented within them.
On that point, I mean, let's say the different types of gangs, do they work towards something? Like, do they ever, like come together to work towards something? What is that something?
Yes, we come together and work together, Chris, because if we play soccer together, indigenous games together, we eat together, and then we do a lot of things together.
Right.
If there is a number, there is a number, I want. Maybe let's say example, maybe the Air Force, me, I'm Air Force, I'm running away.
Yes.
To prison, I'm escaping. So if I want to escape to prison, I can't escape like this.
Yes.
I must go first to 28.
Yes.
And tell them, ish, I want to go.
Yes.
I can't stay here.
Yeah.
And then you can organize things to help me so that I can go home. And then I'll make a promise. If I go there and home, and then I'll find like wheat, salt, ganja, money, something like that, and sending back to these people so that I can go and go.
That whole concept of like getting out of prison and them organizing it for you, isn't that, I mean, if it was that quote unquote easy, I know it's not, but if it was that easy to do it, obviously the whole concept of now you being outside illegally is the problem, right? Right. Does it help? Do they assist the process from the inside? Okay.
Maybe I'm arrested for 5 robbery. And then I know this case is going to put me long time to prison.
Right.
Now I must escape so that I can escape for this case. And then I organize with the 28, and then I'll wait for 28 to do everything there, because of any number, any gangster is there in prison, he take part.
How did you get caught? I'm saying to you, how did that happen? Because obviously, again, it wasn't your first go. How did that happen that the police were there? Or what happened when you guys got, obviously, you know?
Arrested.
Yeah.
No, when I get arrested, I was staying with my girlfriend. And then I was telling him everything I do, I tell him. And then one day I make a mistake, see other girlfriend, the way we are talking.
Ah.
Yeah, my girlfriend be... Otherwise, and then you go to the cop and tell
snitch.
Them. Yeah, I tell them all my case. Say, you know this guy is the one who robbed in Post Maelstrom, is the one who robbed in Varambad, is the one...
But she has no proof.
There is no proof, but I'm wanted.
Yeah.
My job
you
was...
Wanted.
Yeah, wanted.
I get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was robbing the garage, and the garage, there is a cameras. They always take pictures.
Right.
Because I was not scared to go to prison.
Yeah.
I was always need money.
Yeah.
And I was doing this, I know. One of the good day, I'll be arrested and face this thing. I do.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. On that word of a snitch, inside prison, you guys said that is a group on their own. Why become a snitch? Don't you immediately put a target on your back with the other prisoners and being like, do you openly know who the snitch is?
Yeah, we are the Big Fives. They call themselves the Germans. Yeah, they are snitches, and they are legally snitches. So, meaning that we are aware of their thing. So, what we need to do only is to hide our secrets, because we all have secrets. And in our gangsterism, in like as an Air Force, we have 24 rules: 12 works outside, 12 works inside.
Tell me some.
Yeah, so number one, say I die where my brothers die, meaning that if I find my brother fighting, I don't have to ask why is he fighting. I have to fight against the other guy. And then after the fight, then we can discuss why that happened. Yeah, number five says I'll never give a secret from my gangster side. Whatever we do in our gangster, I'll never give it to anybody else who's not within our gangster. So who's one of them? There's one outside, number one outside says, immediately you come out, you go see your sangoma, and he makes your bones thick. you know. And yeah, and then number six says, I don't actually have a deal with girls, and then I'll only meet them when there's a need for me to use them, but not be able to. So I believe that my brother, before then, he made a mistake by giving out the secret to the to number six. Right. He gave number five to number six, so that's how normally we speak. He let out number five to number six.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We covered the relationship with the cops. Was that something that was... Was it healthy, I'm saying, in prison? You know, I'm not saying as a snitch. Let's leave the snitches away. I think that's kind of obvious as well. You know, like you said, people avoid them. I don't know why people don't, because if you're ready to make a knife out of a spoon and just kill someone for show, I don't know how the snitches made it alive.
Let me explain that. Those people, as I said, they are legal snitches, which means they are a gangster. He's not alone. They are a team all over the country. So we have a peace that all the gangsters have signed long time ago, that we will respect each other, meaning that no one will jump each other the other one's borders. Okay. And they chose to be friends. They chose to be friends. Oh, please give me a double shot. Jackie. Yeah. And then what happened is that... obviously, we respect them, and they don't do it. They do it openly, because actually they're doing it so that the police can trust them, give them the jobs to work in the kitchen so they can eat a lot, because they eat a lot. They say there's no dustbin in Germany. So that's one of their wedding. So they eat a lot. They always want to have food. So when they build those relationships with the cops so that the cops can give them the best jobs in prison, because there are jobs and there is pay remuneration, even though it might be 200 a month, but they do get remuneration out of that, which it's a credit that you buy at the shop.
Again, do the other gangs benefit from a snitch?
Yes, because the snitch will always have food, so it can always buy cheaper as gangsters. But if you are a 1-1, which means a non-gangster member, you are nothing. We can even still take your food away from you, regardless that you lift 100 pounds every day.
Thank you so much for joining us with this part of Coffee with Convicts, a mini-series from Chris Jordan Media. We'll see you in the next one. Follow us on Instagram @ChrisJordanMedia or go to my landing page, ChrisJordanMedia.net.